For those of you that were here on Sunday or listened online, and welcome to those of you that are online tonight, we are delighted that you have joined us. And if you were with us on Sunday, my title on Sunday was Stepping into God's Reality. And it comes from a verse in 1 John 3:18 and 20 that says, "My dear children, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. This is the only way that we know that we're living truly, living in God's reality." Oh, there's a difference between living in the world's reality, a difference between living in your own reality and living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. I've enlarged on that before. I'm just want to get through this verse. "For God is greater than our worried hearts." Can you say amen to that? God is greater than your worry. God is greater than your fear. And He knows more about you than you know about yourself. You're not a surprise to God. Not any moment of any day are you a surprise to God. He knows you better than you know yourself. Then on Sunday morning, I took you to the book of Judges, chapter 6, and the story of Gideon. Gideon was living in his own reality. He was living in fear. Now, all the nation of Israel was living in fear because of the Midianites that were stealing everything from them. Now, I don't want to redo the whole sermon from Sunday, but I want to connect it where I'm going tonight. The angel of the Lord showed up. Now, this angel of the Lord, in theological terms, is called a Christophany. A Christophany is an angelic manifestation of the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. See, he's always been there. and this is so this angel that showed up, if you read it there in Judges chapter 6, this angel that showed up was literally the presence of Jesus Christ talking to Gideon. Now, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor, a victorious person. Now, Gideon did not see himself that way because Gideon was living in his own reality. Gideon, and if you read that, Gideon responds and he said, "Who are you talking to? Nobody in this cave but me. Who are you talking to? I am from the least of the tribes. I am from the least family of the least tribe. And I'm the least one in the family." I got a word for you tonight. If you feel like you're on the bottom of the totem pole, you're the candidate that God wants to use to change your world. He's ready. Now, as you get into this passage, you'll see that God had a word for him, and he has a word for us. He was living in a culture dominated by fear. But he said, "You're the one that's going to deliver the nation from this domination of the Midianites. And I'm going to show you," he said, "I'm going to give it to you as one man." God doesn't need an army. He needs one obedient person to change your world. So I want to advance this tonight. If you want all of Sundays, it's online, or there's CDs in the back that you can get, or you can go online and get it. But I want to advance this. Sunday title was Stepping into God's Reality. Tonight I want to talk about stepping into God's reality of change. Now, change is an interesting word. Everybody wants change, but everybody wants everything to stay the same. I've actually had churches that have hired me as a consultant to come in and help them recreate their church. And I've gone in and I've visited with all the leadership. I've visited with the elders of their church. I've visited with members of the church. And then I sat down and composed a plan. And then I said to them, to the leadership, here's where I see some changes need to be made. They said, oh, we don't want to change anything. We just want things to get better. Well, let's talk about the reality of God's change. Here's four things that I want to get over to you tonight. First of all, to have a mindset of change, there has to be a willingness to leave the land of status quo. Now, I don't have time tonight to get into systems, but some of you, I'll make it as quick as I can. A system is where a group of people have come together to organize life. This could be a family. A family is a system. It could be a school. A school is a system. It has a way of operating. It can be the government. It has a way of operating. And it's a system. And in that system, things are set in the way that we do things. My dad used to say to me, that's the way we do it in my house. This is our system. Now, he didn't use the word system, but he got the point across. And so a system is something that, if we're not careful, it can become closed. It's not open to any new ideas. It's not open to any new behaviors. It's not open to any influence from the outside. That becomes a closed system. The word for that is entropic. It's an entropic system. It starts closing in, and nothing new is allowed to come in. That's called, and it can be a religious system. A lot of religious systems in our world today. They don't want anything else to come in. And it becomes what I call the land of status quo. This is the way that we do it. Now, I'll unpack that a little more in a few moments. The second thing that we have to do to step into God's reality of change. Now, this is going to sound oversimplistic, but I'm going to give you some things here that will help with this. The second thing is we have to learn to experience God's love. There's a lot of people that talk about that God loves them, but they've never really allowed themselves to experience God's love. Now, some people, and maybe some of you here tonight, or some of you are online, are scared to death of God's love. In fact, a couple of months ago, I was praying with a young lady here at the altar, and I told her that, and she was really broken. She was living a life in crisis. She had suicidal ideation, and she was in a very dire situation. And I said to her, do you know that God loves you? And here's what she said to me, and I'm going to say it exactly the way she said it. That scares the hell out of me. You see, we that know God and experience God and love God, we think everybody's going to love God. Some people have been so traumatized in the name of love that they're scared to death of love. But we'll never enter into God's reality of change until we start allowing ourselves to trust God's love. I'm going to get more into that here in a moment. The third thing is part of that, and I'm going to give you some verses on it, scripture on this in a little bit. Third thing to experience the reality of God's change, we have to experience God's fatherhood. Not just his love, but his fatherhood. And we're going to see that here in a few moments. The fourth thing, and maybe the thing that we don't want to embrace to enter into God's reality of change, is we have to learn how to accept and handle disappointments. If we don't learn how to handle disappointments, we're never going to enter into that next place that God wants to take us. You won't ever get to that next level. So I want to unpack these four things for you tonight, and hopefully they will give you some tools of stepping in to God's reality of change so you can go to the next level. Now, I want to connect back to Judges chapter 6 that I was talking about a while ago and spent a lot of time on Sunday morning. Judges chapter 6, verse 25 through and 26. Now, I'm reading from the Message translation. That night, this happened. God had told Gideon to tear down the altar of Baal. And here's what he did. That night, this happened. God said to him, take your father's best 7-year-old bull, the prime one. Tear down your father's Baal altar. Chop down the Asherah fertility pole beside it. Then build an altar to God, your God, on top of this hill. Take the prime bull and present it as a whole burnt offering using firewood from the Asherah pole that you cut down. Gideon, verse 27, Gideon selected 10 men from his servants and did exactly what God had told him. But because of his family and the people in the neighborhood, he was afraid to do it openly, so he did it that night. Early in the morning. Let me tell you, when you tear down old belief systems, when you tear down old religious behaviors, and you tear down false gods, there's something good going to come the next morning. Now, it won't always come the way you want it to look like. Because here's what happened. Early the next morning, the people in town were shocked to find Baal's altar torn down, the Asherah pole beside it chopped down, and the prime bull burning away on the altar that had been built. It was a new day in Israel. It'll be a new day in your life when you tear down beliefs that are not in congruence with the Word of God. Are you hearing me? When you tear down traditions that keep the traditions of men rather than the commandments of God. There's so much I want to get into tonight, and I won't have time, but I just want to tell you that God is preparing the body of Christ for, I believe, one of the greatest revivals the world has ever known. I'm not the only one saying that. People with more prophetic gifts than I are declaring that in our culture and in our atmosphere. But it's because God is stirring something. God is moving something. You say, how in the world can we declare that when we have the things going on in the world that's going on? Well, the Bible tells us about that, and I'll get to it here in a few moments, of how this is going to happen before the great move of God that God is bringing into our world today. Now, when you, here's what Gideon did. He disrupted the status quo. He disrupted the status quo. Now, when you disrupt the status quo, the people in status quo are not going to like it. They're going to be upset about it. They're going to condemn you. They're going to shame you. And in some places, they're going to cast you out. Others have been crucified for such a thing. But when you start moving out of the status quo into what God is doing, it's a great new day, but it doesn't come with everybody patting you on the back. Everybody's not going to be excited about you stepping out for Jesus Christ. Everybody's not going to be excited that you got set free. Everybody's not going to be excited that you got delivered. Everybody's not going to be excited that you're excited. Because they want to keep the status quo. And I'm going to give you some of their language here in a moment. In what happened in Gideon, it said in verse 29, they kept asking, who did this? Who tore down all of this? Then the men of the town demanded Joash, bring out your son. He must die. He tore down the Baal altar and chopped down the Asherah tree. He disrupted the status quo. He tore down an altar that his father had built to a foreign god, to an idol, and tore down their marker, their fertility pole, and now everything was in disarray. And so they wanted him dead. See, what you're excited about, other people are not always excited about. Because they want to keep things as they are so they will feel good. Here's some of the language of the land of status quo. Don't rock the boat. This is the way that we have always done it. I've had that said to me by some of these churches that I told you wanted me to help them. Well, this is the way we have always done it. You can't trust anyone. If you leave, you won't survive. I've had people right here at CFTN that I've ministered to and worked with in my ministry of Life Impact that have told me they left a church and they were told when they left, if you leave here, you're going to go to hell. Let me tell you, if a church is telling you if you leave, you're going to go to hell, get out of there as quickly as you can. Are you hearing me? I remember some friends when I left my denomination that told me I wouldn't make it. Your ministry's going to be over. Well, I have to tell you, 11 years later, I'm still doing pretty good. If you leave, you'll lose your inheritance. If you leave, you'll crush your mother. You'll crush your father. These groups use fear and shame to keep people in the land of status quo. Now hang on with me. They'll use statements like, well, you're being rebellious, or you're a sinner, or you're going to hell. You should be ashamed of yourself for thinking of something outside of the status quo. After all that we've done for you, somebody's heard that one. You're ungrateful. Who do you think you are? The belief system of the land of status quo. Here's the way it works. Now hang on with me. The people in the land of status quo don't seek truth. They look for validation of their truth. It's in the land of status quo that beliefs are handed down from generation to generation. In the status quo, members are told what to think, not taught how to think. Now, there was a great thing that happened here in the scripture that I want you to see. Remember, if you go back and look at this, when God told Gideon to tear down the altar. He told him that it was his father's altar. His father had built this altar. And he told him to get his father's bull, the best one, the prime of the crop, of the flock, and to tear down the altar and the Asherah pole, and then to sacrifice the bull on the altar, using what he had torn down now to offer up a great sacrifice unto God. Now, the next thing that happened when these people were demanding for Gideon to be killed, his father, Joash, stood up for his son and stood up for God. See, when you step out of the land of status quo, you make a way for other people to step out of the land of status quo. Oh yeah, there'll be a lot of negative talk. There'll be a lot of things hurled at you, but you're making a way for other people to step out of the status quo and get into the new place that God wants them into. So, transformation requires us going into God's reality of change. I want to skip into Romans chapter 8. Here's where we start experiencing God's love and His fatherhood. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit and do not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough." See, that's where religion always wants to keep you. Religion always wants to keep you that you're not good enough. You got to do more, you got to serve more, you got to pray more, you got to give more, you got to read more, you got to always do more. No, we don't get to a new place in God by doing more. We get to a new place in God by realizing more of what God has done for us. See, it's not us doing more, it's us receiving what He has done for us. When we can stop trying to get to God on our own behaviors, and as was stated a moment ago, it's not our righteousness, it's not our good deeds. Now, I'm not telling you shouldn't pray. I'm not telling you we shouldn't read the Word. I'm not telling you we shouldn't go to church. I'm not telling you we shouldn't give. I'm just telling you those are not the things that's going to get us closer to God. It's when we recognize more of what God has done for us. My wife and I have been at this for a long time. My daughter and son-in-law are here with us tonight from Colorado, and they've been around my ministry for all their lives. My daughter, all of her life. My son-in-law, a good portion of his life. But I can tell you right now, I'm experiencing more of God's love and God's grace today than I have the previous 50 years of ministry that I've been in, because I'm experiencing Him in a new light, in a new way, every day. He never gets old. Amen. His blessings never get old. Serving Him never gets old. It's always a new day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Give Him a great big praise offering. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Wrap your brain around that. You have received full acceptance. He's not waiting on you to get better. He's ready to make you better by His works, not yours. Are you getting this tonight? We're talking about entering into God's reality of change. See, in the reality of change, the key phrase is submission. It's not warrior. It's not fighting. It is submission. When we learn to submit to God's love. And we have to do that at different levels of our life. We cannot comprehend all of God's love at one time. Even in this lifetime, we'll never comprehend all of God's love. But we can comprehend it from place to place, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. As I said earlier, we keep experiencing more of God's love and God's grace. You have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you, get this, into the family of God. And you will never have to feel like an orphan. For as he has raised up within us, our spirits join with him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, Abba Father, Daddy. He is that close to us tonight that we can call on him as our Father. You cannot go through God's reality of change and not experience his fatherhood. Let him wrap his loving arms around you and love you, and let him show you how much he cares for you, and you tell the devil he is a liar. He has to quit condemning you, quit shaming you, and recognize your sonship, your daughtership in the kingdom of heaven. He is my Father in heaven, and he is good. Can you say amen? Verse 16, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. I want you to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit tonight in this room. I want you to hear it if you're watching online. I want you just to pause for a moment and hear the word of God that he whispers into our innermost being, you are my beloved child. Would you just soak that in for a moment? Put your hand on your heart, right on your bosom. Put your hand there and tell yourself, I am God's beloved child. Now, if you haven't received him, this is a great time to do it right here. Right in this moment, I receive him as my heavenly Father. I receive Christ as the one who died for my sins. And the Holy Spirit whispers into you right now, even if you're here troubled, even if you're here confused, even if you're here in doubt, I want you to hear the word of the Lord tonight. I want to whisper it into you. God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. He bore stripes on his back for you. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight for you. He endured the shame of the cross for the prize that was set before him. And he sits on the throne tonight beside the heavenly Father, declaring, this is my child. I died for them. I redeemed them. They're just as if they had never sinned in my kingdom, because they're wrapped in the robe of my righteousness. I am his child. Would you say that with me tonight? I am his child. Child. Verse 17. And since we are his true children, I love this next line, we qualify to share all of his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience, get this, being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his suffering as our own. How do we do that? Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. Thank you for taking my sins on the cross. Thank you for suffering for me so that I could be glorified by you. See, we enter into God's reality of change. We have to accept this process of experiencing more of Him. Now, one of the things that I love about CFTN, Pastor Maiden's ministry, and all that goes on here at CFTN, you'll find out here at CFTN, we don't tell you to check your sins at the door. We don't tell you to shape up before you come in. We believe that this is a hospital for those that are lost and hurting and wounded and broken. We believe, Pastor says this a lot, we're looking for imperfect people. Do you know any? We're looking for imperfect people. Not because we want to glorify their imperfections, but we want to introduce them to a perfect God. See, when imperfect people encounter a perfect God, something transforms inside of them. And now they're living a new life in Jesus Christ. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, we see His work going on in people's lives. Now I want to get to number 4 on my points tonight. I'm doing really good. To enter into God's reality of change, we have to change the way that we process disappointments and how we deal with our assumptions and our expectations. I want to take you to another Old Testament passage. It's in Isaiah chapter 38, verses 16 and 19. The setting is King Hezekiah. He is on his deathbed, and he has been told by the prophet that he's going to die. And he asked God for more years, for more life. And I don't have time to go into all of that, but I'm going to break in to his conversation with God in verse 16. O Master, these are the conditions in which people live. And if you go back and read the history, it wasn't good. And yes, in these very conditions, my spirit is still alive, fully recovered in fresh infusion of life. It seems it was good for me to go through all those troubles. Can I tell you, the thing that you're trying to get out of is the thing that God is using to develop you. The thing you're running from. The thing you're begging God to take care of in your life. He doesn't want to lift you out of it. He wants to take you through it. See, God doesn't always. He told the children of Israel, I want to take you through the wilderness. Because He knew what was in their heart. And He wanted to get that out of their heart. But if we keep hanging on to our past, we'll never be able to see our future. If we're stuck in our in waiting for God to deliver us from something, we might be missing the way that He wants to take us through something. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You thought I was talking in tongues. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Oh God, or Oh King, we're not careful to answer you. They're getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down. We're not careful to answer you concerning this, but He that we worship, the God that we worship, He will deliver us, and even if He doesn't. We need an even if He doesn't faith. Are you hearing me tonight? Even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Can I just tell you something tonight? I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. I used to sleep under the pews, and it wasn't on carpet. I probably cut my teeth on the back of pews when my teeth were coming in. So I've been in church all of my life. And I've heard about the coming of the Lord all of my life. All of my life. In fact, we used to hear a lot more sermons about the coming of the Lord. I mean, those guys were good. They would scare you into heaven. They would make you feel like that it was happening right now. And if you wasn't ready, you better get ready. And I've gotten saved several times. Scared to death. The Lord was coming. Well, here I am now, more than 50 years of ministry, and the Lord hasn't come yet. But let me tell you something. I'd rather live hoping for the coming of the Lord than die with no hope at all. See, when you read the chapter of faith, those people lived in hope even when they saw their loved ones being crucified. Some sawed, the Bible said some were even sawed in two, but they refused to turn loose of their faith. If a disappointment is going to stop your faith, then you need to get your faith renewed. It's not about us always getting our way. Oh, I've had that. I've had some times when I talk God into giving me my way. I remember one time I asked God for a certain car. It was in the name it and claim it days. I named it. I claimed it. I got it. I regretted it. That car was in the shop constantly. One day in prayer, I said, God, why in the world did you give me this car? Yeah, you got it. He said, because you asked for it. You know, we've done that with our kids sometimes, haven't we? They just keep asking and asking and asking, and then finally you just say, all right, but you're going to reap the consequences. And they do, and then they start crying, why did you let that happen to me? See, sometimes we have to understand that just because God doesn't answer it our way doesn't mean that he hasn't answered. God can say no just like he can say yes. And we need to learn that disappointments are not there to stop us. Disappointments are there to show us there is a different direction. There is a different way. There is a lesson to learn. So we have to learn. See, what God is trying to do, hear me, God is doing in our world today, he's getting the body of Christ ready for the greatest revival that has ever taken place. We've got to know this, that the earth, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, that the earth is groaning for its redemption. The earth is not doing what the earth can do. it's bountiful. Thank God for the great farmers that we have that provide the food. But you ain't seen nothing yet. When this earth, when it gets to that place that all that God intended for this earth to be is released, there'll be plenty and abundance for everybody. We've seen signs of that from time to time. We've seen signs of healings, and thank God, I believe we're seeing more of that today than we've ever seen before. But the church has not always been ready. God's trying to get us ready. I remember some of the things that happened in my own generation. I remember when the Jesus movement took place. The church wasn't ready for the Jesus movement. They weren't ready for those barefooted hippies to come into their church. And God started revivals in parks and communities. And he had to get the church ready to receive them. The church wasn't ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you read church history, it wasn't ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. back at the turn of the last century, at the late 1800s, the beginning of the 1900s, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen within the confines of the status quo church. God had to do it outside of the status quo and then bring it inside so that the church could. There's things God's getting ready to do that many churches are not ready for. But I'm telling you tonight, God is getting us ready for the greatest revival that could ever take place on the face of the earth. Here's what he said in Romans 8. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory. Anything we're going through right now doesn't even compare with what God's getting ready to do. That is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. That's you and me. Did you hear me? I said, that's you and me. You didn't get that. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom, for its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We're also experiencing the first fruits of the Spirit. That's us, folks. Also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience full status quo of God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of salvation. I gotta hurry. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. When we talk about the greatest revival, the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God that the world has ever known, even the earth is groaning for it. The entire universe, all the angels of heaven, all are looking for it. Then why are we in these pains? I remember when my wife was giving birth and when my daughter was giving birth to her children, I thanked God in heaven that I was a man. You can't go through the change of reality without the pain. The earth is in pain. We're seeing evidence of it today. This thing that's going around, that's got the whole world. Do you know, I don't want to diminish what's going on whatsoever, but history, we all know this in history. Some of our own lifetimes, we've seen greater epidemics than what's going on right now. But we've never seen the amount of fear that's going on right now. Because people are living in a hopeless world because they don't have their hope in the right place. If you think the government's going to solve this problem, you don't understand government. If you think education is going to solve this problem, education is not going to do it. This is going to be a time when the body of Christ can stand up and declare the healing power of Jesus Christ and let the world know where our peace is. It is not in the structures of this world. It is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And would you stand to your feet with me right now? Give the Lord a great big praise offering and let's worship Him together tonight. as the worship team comes out. I've got some more here, but I'll get to it later. Four things: willingness to leave the land of status quo. Anybody here ready to step out of the status quo in your life tonight? Experiencing God's love. Are you ready to experience God's love at a greater level than you ever have? Experiencing God's fatherhood. Are you ready to let Him be the father of your life? Can you just nuzzle up to Him and say, "Dad, I love you. Papa, I love you." Whatever terms of endearment fits for you, just tell Him right now, "Father, I love you. I am your daughter. I am your son." Number four, you got to learn to walk through the disappointments. Just because you have a disappointment doesn't mean God has forsaken you. It means He's got something to teach you, to show you, and to develop in you. It is said that Thomas Edison had 9,999 some disappointments before he created the light bulb. If disappointment stopped him, we'd be having candles, service by candlelight tonight. Disappointment is not to stop us. It is to teach us and train us. Prayer partners, would you come? Father, we just release ourselves and release your presence. We release ourselves to receive from you tonight, and we open our heart to a greater love, a greater father-son-daughter relationship than we've ever had before. And Lord, we're ready to tear down any barriers, any false beliefs, any false gods in our lives. We're ready to step out of the status quo into your reality of change and experience you at a greater level than we've ever experienced you before. We thank you for it right now. As the prayer team is here with us, anything you need prayer for tonight, you're in an atmosphere that ought to just encourage you to believe God with somebody right now. These prayer partners will agree with you. They'll stand with you. They'll lead you to the place that God wants to take you tonight. Worship team, just take us back into a prayerful worship of the Spirit of the Lord.